So if you niece and nephew, you sit like this, see what your parents say. If your parents say that very rude, put your leg down, then you say, this is Asian culture. You watch what you say. Just kidding, don't call your mom a You're gonna get beat up if you're Asian. Hey nieces and nephews, and welcome back to the Hiya Podcast. Apologies for this week's video. It got blocked by Vice. This week's Uncle Roger video got blocked by Vice. It was supposed to come out 3 days ago when you listen. This comes out Sunday, but Vice blocked it due to a fraudulent copyright claim. First of all, I do all these videos. I review people's videos, right? And there's a thing on YouTube called fair use. So legally, I'm allowed to review these videos. I'm not breaking any copyright laws. But the thing is, YouTube as a structure, as a system, is so beneficial to the copyright holder. So they claimed my video, they blocked it. I can dispute, but they can have up to 30 days to review that dispute. So if they want to be dicks about it, they can like review it on day 29. So sorry, guys. It's a good video. Vice are being pussies. It's Matty Matheson making butter chicken. And it's a good video. I worked really hard on it. I worked really hard on every video. But it just got blocked. So, you know. The funny thing is, though, because it still appears on people's subscription feed, you know. So my viewers, they see my thumbnail pop up. They click it and the video says blocked. But they see the description, so they know what video I'm reviewing. So they'll click the video link, go to the original Vice's channel, and then leave a comment there. It's like, fuck you, Vice. Why are you blocking Uncle Roger's video, Vice? And I'm like, chill, chill, chill. It's all automated, guys. Let's not try to be too aggressive here. But thank you. I appreciate it. See, this is what you want. You want fans who will kill for you. You want fans who will commit a crime for you. That's how you know you have a solid fan base. So I'm all for my fans burning down buildings for Uncle Roger. That's how you know if they are willing to burn down a building for you, they will buy your t-shirt. You know what I mean? That's the fans you want. So thank you. It warms my heart when I see so much hate coming from my fans. Thank you.
Are you hoping one day you're just going to have an army of like orange polo people like storming Washington?
The orange army. Yeah, you know, Trump had the Capitol riot. I'm going to have the Uncle Roger riot one day. You know, if Jamie Oliver ever opens a restaurant, just let's all go together with orange polos and just fuck it up, you know? And yeah, a few of you are going to end up in prison, but that's okay. There are worse things in life to be a cause for. You know what I mean? Yeah, incels who terrorize and kill people because they can't get laid. That is very sad. But if you terrorize and kill people because their food sucks, I can understand that.
I'm picturing how cute their mugshots would look with their little orange polo and everything. Yeah. Just like one by one by one.
All orange polos. Well, prison guard is already orange, right? Orange is the new black. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. And they all look at the camera like this. Hi, yeah, doing the Uncle Roger pose. But in all seriousness, you know, it's a little bit of a bummer. I don't know when the video will go back up. Hopefully soon. Don't hate on Vice. It's just an automatic algorithm. Nieces and nephews. But it makes you feel good. You know, like, you know how BTS... You know BTS?
Yeah, kinda.
They're a big Korean K-pop boy band, right? And their fandom name is called ARMY. And they are like aggressive. If you shit on any member of BTS, by the way, I love BTS, so don't shit on me, ARMY. You know, I love all their songs.
Just to put that out there straight away. Yeah. To stop any of that happening.
Smooth like butter. You know, I use their songs in my videos sometimes. So they attack people like, I know there's an Australian comedian who wrote something, these people can't even sing. That kind of thing, which is sometimes, I don't know, you can have your opinion, whatever, right? But then these ARMY people just went through his past tweets and just surfaced his old videos where he was saying some mildly offensive shit, you know? And then they were sending it to his employers, not employers, but like his tour company, like Live Nation, I can't believe you're working with this xenophobic monster. So that's the fan I want. If they're willing to kill for you, they will buy a t-shirt. They'll buy a ticket to come see you. So sorry about that, guys. Hopefully all will be restored. And I want to address something I mentioned in my last episode. You know, we talked about how we both hate mixed race babies.
I mean, there was no we in that. I was just sat here like uncomfortable in the corner.
It's guilty by association, Matt.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, we did say something along those lines. Okay, did say
Thank you.
But it, listen for the context, people. Basically, I said, if you grew up mixed race, it's really hard to fit in. That's all I said, right? And I want to say the comments have been very enlightening, you know, because a lot of people relate to it. There's this comment from Annette Furuyama. Loving the addition of the producer.
Okay.
Hey, they like you.
My
they
favorite
like
comment.
Do you guys really like... Why do you guys like Matt so much? Why? He gets uncomfortable with my crazy shit. But I know you secretly think this. I know you secretly
you
walk around thinking,
that.
These mixed race babies.
I mean, you already got me saying about like trafficking in Chinatown last week. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's happening. You said like two episodes ago, like, I'm going to turn you to the dark side. Like, it's already happening.
Yes.
That's what I hate. I'm like, no, this isn't me.
Does your wife love this new side of you?
Yeah.
Let's bring it up to her, you know? Hey, Gemma, what do you think of human trafficking as you're sitting down to dinner? What do you think of the people who are trafficked in Chinatown? What do you think? Have you ever encountered any of them? Loving the addition of the producer. Okay, good job, Matt. I'll keep paying him. Interracial marriages and identity. I am married to a Japanese man and we have two kids. I have not really been brought up as a black person as I am a quarter Indian, quarter white, and half Jamaican. And had both Indian and Jamaican food to eat. We mostly make the kids Japanese food and mom makes Jamaican and Indian food. My kids identify as mostly Japanese as that is what I have kept up as we live in the UK. See, here's the thing. You can identify as Japanese. Your kids can identify as Japanese, but only if they're Japanese passing. You know, because I think if your kids go to school and I don't know what they look like, but let's imagine a world because you have like Indian or Jamaican heritage, right? Imagine if they're like super dark skinned and then they say, I'm Japanese. Kids, the other kids don't know shit. They'll be like, but why is your skin so dark? You know, I've seen Japanese anime. They're all fair skinned. I've seen the Olympics. All these Japs be... Let's not say Japs. Let's not be offensive. Just for fun, for no reason. All these Japanese people are fair skinned. Why is your skin so dark? That still fucks your kid up identity-wise, you know? You can't just tell kids that, yeah, it doesn't matter. There's no biological basis in race, which is a true fact, you know? Scientifically, there's evidence. Biology shows, you know, race is a social construct. But we still use them because we are very visual creatures, right? So if a kid, an Asian kid or whatever, say an Asian kid goes to an all-white school, he comes back, mom, the white kids are bullying me because I'm Asian, mom. And then you can't just tell the kid, well, I know you're bullied because you're Asian, but there's no biological basis in race, little Zachary. What does that mean, mom? Well, I know you're bullied as an Asian, but if you took a microscope and just examine your DNA, you'll realize, Zachary, that you are just the same as all the other white kids. Oh, thank you, Mom. That makes sense. I feel much better now, Mom. Does that ever happen? You think a child thinks like that?
But if they go back to the bullies and say that...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're Asian and a nerd.
You'll get beat up by your microscope. They're going to take your microscope and beat you up with it. Don't confront your bullies like that. Well, actually, bully... We have the same biological basis. If you look close enough into our DNA, that's what they're going to do to you. So I stand by my point. If your mixed race is really hard. I do like how there's no biological basis in race because then I can tell women I have a black dick.
Oh, for
you know?
Sake. Oh my God.
I am so woke. My dick is black. Okay. There's no biological basis in race, baby. I know you only date black men so far. I don't know for what reason, but I can only surmise is to do with a little known stereotype. I identify as an Asian man with a black dick. Okay, there is no biological basis in race. Yeah. Wouldn't you want to do that?
I mean, you've got to back that up though. If you're going around saying that, it's all well and good saying.
If you took a microscope, if I took my pants off and you took a microscope, you will clearly see it is, in fact, a black dick once it's magnified by a few hundred times. You know? Oh, God.
The amazing thing, though, if you're mixed race or whatever the correct term is, like, all that food, that's amazing. I'm so jealous listening to that story.
Listen.
Like, the food sounds amazing, like, growing up having that.
I know you're trying to change the topic. I'm not done talking about the black dick yet. Yes, you have a point, but we'll get to that later. I'm going to have body parts of all different races, you know? Like, not just a black dick. Just a black What else do you want? Why? Also, why would you identify as Japanese? Black is way cooler. Why would you not identify as Jamaican? You're fucking up your children asking them to identify as Japanese. You know?
Yeah, just, that is interesting. That's
just
true.
Just take the blackness and run with it, man. Being identifying as Asian is hard. It's a hard life here. I don't know where you grew up, but in the UK, it's a hard life. Maybe you're kind of like excluded from mainstream society a little bit. So just try to be black if you can.
If, say, you live like here for another 30 years, what would you identify as? Would you still be like, oh, I'm Malaysian? Or would you say, well, I've lived in this country longer than I've lived in that country?
That is true. That is a good question.
I always think that, yeah.
I don't know. When do you switch? I don't know. I don't know when if I'll switch.
Yeah.
You know? But I know that if... I'll just say I have a black dick, and that's what I want to identify as now. I'm not Malaysian. I'm an Asian guy with a black dick. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
I would love it if you could tick that box, you know, when you have to do the forms when you're going somewhere. Like away. When you have to identify as whatever you have. They just had Asian with black dick. Tick. That's me.
That needs to be a box. That needs to be my box. I think that's under other, and then they say, please specify. Yeah. Right down. Asian with black dick. That's my ethnicity. We are the superior race. We have everything. But the best parts of every race, we pick them out and create this like cyborg, you know? Oh yeah, we have to mention this. Tomorrow, I'm recording this on Monday, and tomorrow is Chinese New Year.
Hey.
Yeah, it's my Christmas. You know, in Malaysia, that's our biggest holiday. And today, Monday, the day before Chinese New Year, is when we have all the whole family get together. There's a family reunion. So this morning, after the gym, I was FaceTiming my parents.
Oh,
and they were all having dinner with my relatives. And it's on Zoom. And I don't know how they're doing it because, like, they have one iPad and the whole family's in shot. So the iPad must be super far away. And it's like... I'm sure you can't even hear me. This is my like aunt's family, on my mom's side. I'm sure you can't even hear me. It's like Zoom, and then they're so far away. They're like, hi. I saw my cousin. She's stuck in Shanghai because China's not letting anyone fly in or out.
Oh my God! What, because of COVID?
Yeah.
Oh man,
they're still doing that. But it was nice, and I was supposed to go back to Malaysia, this year for Chinese New Year, but I just. The LA trip happened, and I was like, I'm a bit sick of traveling, and I want to see my house get done up, so I decided to stay here. So it always sucks when you spend Chinese New Year in a Western country because the majority of people here don't celebrate it, so they don't give a shit. Yeah. And it's not their fault, right? But imagine if you went to a place and they don't celebrate Christmas, right? And they just walk around, and other people walk around like it's any other day.
Yeah.
But you're like, what about the tree? What about Rudolph? What about Santa? And then they're like, oh, we don't give a shit, mate. We're Jewish here. You know, we don't give a shit. What? They don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not offensive. Come on. Yeah, Chinese New Year is a big thing. You get, and I'm explaining this because Matt is white.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have to explain this to my producer.
I didn't even know it was tomorrow. Literally tomorrow. I had no idea.
Chinese New Year needs a better PR team.
Yeah.
We need to make white people aware that it's tomorrow. Yeah, we need a better PR department, market Chinese New Year.
Is it a
best
big night
festival.
Out? Is it like a huge...
It's like
you know,
15
like...
days, man.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It's the only time Asian people take a break.
It's 15 days?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
I told you, it's the best holiday.
That's
You're missing
amazing.
Out. You know, Thanksgiving. Ugh, turkey, the worst food. You know, it's 15 days of pure joy and family time and gambling and...
gambling.
Yeah, we always gamble in Chinese New Year. It's a thing. We gamble with our relatives. So if you lose money, you're still... Think of it like donating to your cousin. You know, who cares? Yeah. You know. We always gamble. And it's a good time. You wear new clothes. You're supposed to wear new clothes, which, don't have time to go shopping, so I'm going to wear my old clothes. You're supposed to wear new clothes. You're supposed to wear red on the first day. First day is tomorrow. Nice. And then you get money. You get like little red packets.
From who?
From relatives. Only if you're not married, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And if you go to Chinatown, you'll see a lot of like, you'll see lion dancers and lanterns and stuff.
Oh my God, that sounds
amazing. Yeah, yeah. You see the traffic people break a smile.
I'm going to Chinatown on at the weekend. So I'll see it.
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see it.
Oh, I'm so happy. That'd be amazing.
See?
Yeah, that's really cool. Because I was in Hong Kong once for Halloween, and it was like the best thing I've ever seen.
Hong Kong for Halloween?
But like, everyone was so into it. Like, the dressing up and everything. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah, but you can go to America for that.
Yeah.
Okay, like, Hong Kong's not known for Halloween. What is...
I think it was more the principle being like in an Asian country during Halloween, and like everyone just took it so seriously.
I get that you're trying to find commonality with me, and I appreciate the effort. But
that's
Chinese New Year is not Halloween in Hong Kong. Okay, like those two aren't even comparable. I'm looking forward to the food tomorrow. And speaking of restaurants, I went to a place called Fallow the other day, and it's a really good restaurant. Modern British food, that's very good. They have a dish they're famous for, which is a cod fish head. You know, a whole fish head and the gills and everything and the eyes, they serve the whole fish to you. And, you know, it usually, fish head is a very common Malaysian dish. We have fish head curries. And we eat it, a lot of Asian countries, we eat it. But when I'm here, it's really hard to convince a Western, predominantly white country to eat fish head. But they pulled it off. And you know how they did that?
How?
Yeah. They say, oh, we at Fallow, the thing we are known for is head-to-tail eating. We eat the whole animal for sustainability. That's what we're known for. We are a sustainable restaurant. So we eat the whole animal. Nothing goes to waste. The fisherman catches the whole thing. We buy the whole thing from them. We don't make the fisherman chop off the fish's head. No, we buy the whole thing and we serve the whole thing directly from the sea to the table. And white people are eating it up. That's this most, this regular British people were buying that dish. That's their most popular dish. I'm like, that is a genius move, right? To go the sustainable angle. In Asia, we've been being sustainable because we are poor. We have to eat the whole fish, you know? We are sustainable because we had to. People are sustainable here because they want to. That's the difference, isn't it? Good for you. Being sustainable is nice. But in Asia, we're sustainable because we had to. We recycled plastic bags because we couldn't afford actual bags. So we just took plastic bags and paper bags and plastic containers, you know? We couldn't afford Tupperware. So we got like takeaway. We got takeout. Just keep those plastic containers forever. You know? And people are like, oh, there's so much pollution in Asia, so dirty. I'm like, bitch, I've had these same plastic containers since I was a child. They're still under the sink. But here, now they've figured out how to sell it. So, Malaysian restaurants out there. I know a few Malaysian restaurants in here, and they struggle. They sell fish head curry, like Laksamania. They sell fish head curry, but it's only Malaysians ordering it. So here's how you spin it, Asian restaurants. Sustainable, farm-to-table, head-to-tail eating.
I'm not sure. I have had it before in Iceland. I had a fish head.
Okay.
It's so scary. It's just looking at you.
You confront your food. What, you just want fish and chips? It's a little square block. Yeah. A little square block. I want to eat this animal, but I don't want to face it.
Where's the beer batter?
Yeah. No beer batter in this restaurant. But it works. Try it. Yeah. Try to go to Fallow, and they dress it up nice. The lighting's good. So all the white people are like, oh my God, is it really good? Oh, sea to ocean to table eating. Oh, something funny. I went by myself, right? I was supposed to go with a friend, but she got COVID. So I thought, because some restaurants now, you can reserve a table, but they take a deposit.
Yeah.
And if you don't show up, you forfeit the 50-pound deposit, you know, which sucks. But then I went by myself and I realized I need to start eating alone at restaurants more now because people recognize me.
Hey.
Yeah, and then the chefs just walk me around the kitchen. They show me they actually grow their own mushrooms in the basement. You know, they grow fungus in their basement. I don't know how they're still in business. You know, how did you pass the hygiene checks, Fallow? So now I get to know the restaurant. I get to DM the chef to get a table now.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I realize I need to eat alone at restaurants more. Because if I go with someone, they're not going to come talk to you and bother you, right? Mm, but yeah. If I go alone and some people know from me from my Uncle Roger Z-list YouTube fame, then they're going to give me...
Are you just going to start wearing the orange polo everywhere? Just
that's a good idea.
In and around London.
That's a good idea. I should start doing that. But wouldn't it be sad if like I wore that orange polo and it didn't recognize me? I just wore that orange polo for nothing.
You just have to stay in character 24/7.
It's the saddest if you stayed in character but nobody knows who you are and now you're like, fuck, I have to play this character for the whole meal now.
They'll think you're a psychopath if they don't realize that this guy's personality has just changed.
Yeah, why is he sitting with his leg on the chair? Why is he being such a dick to everybody? Why does he have four woks with him? Why did he bring his own woks? Why? But Fallow is a good restaurant, and I think we should start selling, you know, like anything gross, any Asian dish that grosses out white people, just say, farm to table, sustainable eating, chicken feet. We eat all parts of the chicken because here at Joy King Lau, one of my favorite Chinese restaurants, by the way, here at Joy King Lau, we care about the farmers. When they send us chickens, a lesser restaurant, we just chop off the heads of the chicken, chop off the feet, send it back to the farmers, and then they get paid based on the weight. So if they sell you less weight of the chicken, you pay less. And these farmers, they're already trafficked. We've established this. They're already trafficked and they have such a hard life. Can you live with yourself if you don't eat this chicken feet? Can you live with yourself? So here at Joy King Lau, we eat the whole chicken. The true British way of eating. Oh, you gotta say that and throw that in. You know your British ancestors, during their times were hard. This was before the Industrial Revolution. They had to eat the whole animal. And here at Joy King Lau, we preserve the British tradition and heritage. Why? I don't fucking know. We are an Asian restaurant with nothing to do with Britain, but we will preserve the British heritage of eating the whole animal. You confront the animal, you stare in its eyes as you chop open the chicken breast. God. That's how you sell it, Chinese restaurants. Frog legs.
I've had snails.
You had... Yeah, it's French. It's not impressive. Yeah. But you say it like I was supposed to be impressed by that. Nigel, I have snails. Yeah. What's with that tone?
I was very impressed. I was the only one on our table to order it. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, go on, Matt. Yeah, go for it. And I was like, I'm a cultured guy.
It's like the first thing on any French restaurant's menu. Ask what culture? It's the first thing on the menu.
Literally.
Yeah. It's not even asked for a secret French menu. Oh, we have escargot, mademoiselle. Monsieur, escargot. No, it's like the first. Ordering the first thing of any menu is not culture. It's being basic. Sorry, Matt. Such a high opinion of yourself. Wow. You're coming at it with like such confidence. Nigel, I ate snail recently. My God. That I need to make fun of you of. You are so excited.
What's the wildest thing you've had?
Well, to me, it wasn't that wild. I never really had bugs before. I had it as a little like novelty thing just once, but it was at a science fair. They were talking about the future of food. It's bugs. I'm like, listen, the future of food is not bugs. Come on. The future of food is like, I drink this, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I know I shouldn't, but I drink this thing called Huel, which is like powder you mix with water, and you drink it. Because it's convenient, okay? It's convenient. It allows me to have abs. It's high in protein. It allows me to have abs. And it allows me to eat anything I want the rest of the day. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to lose some fans from this. How could you, Nigel? How could you drink Huel as a champion of food? But I think that's the future of food. You know, bugs is not the future of food. We had bird's nest in Malaysia. I like that a lot. You know, it's made from the saliva of the bird when they make the... Don't grimace. It tastes good. You make it a little broth. That's nice, sweet. Add some sugar to it. Mwah, delicious. Last week, I did a podcast, someone else's podcast, which is about like male body issues.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called Manatomy. So I don't know if my episode's out yet, but it's run by two really cool, funny people, Danny and Phil. And they invited me on their podcast. It's really fun. And they always, they talk about male body issues, right? And they're like, oh, as someone in the spotlight, how do you feel when people comment about appearance? And I'm like, well, I'm used to it now. You know, I think a lot of these interviews, and sure, it's fair because, you know, mental health is important. They want to talk about how it makes you feel when people talk about your appearance because it's very ingrained in our culture that people value appearance. But really, to me, I think maybe they were expecting some sort of answer that's like, makes me feel a little bit vulnerable. You know, like, how does it feel? You know, does it affect your mental health? And my answer was literally was like, I couch it in a nicer way, but I like, I don't care. I don't care. I go about my day. You know, if it's a nice compliment, sure, it's like, oh, it feels nice. But if it's a shitty compliment, oh, I see pimples on your face, Nigel. Don't care. You get so... I've been doing YouTube for a while now, right? And every video you get these comments. Can we go back to not caring about everything in life? You know, it's a lost art form to not care. You know what I mean? I think it'll solve a lot of problems, right? People hurt your feelings. Have you tried not caring? Have you tried that before you try therapy? Try not caring before you try therapy. Because these therapists, I'm sure there are, most of them are good, but I'm sure there are some who are just grifters, who are just milking it. Just riding the trend of prioritizing mental health. Before you try going to therapy, try not caring. And I'm not saying bottle it down and just suppress it. That's the opposite. Just let the words drift through you like a river. Like water flowing through a rock. People bitch about your appearance before, I'm sure, online.
Yeah, on these videos, yeah.
Yeah. How do you deal with it? Do you curl up in the fetal position and cry to Gemma?
No, I normally laugh because they're normally funny. Like, they're horrible. When I'm like, that's so horrible, it's actually funny.
Most horrible things are funny. That's what we do.
I mean, that's it, yeah. I'm just, you know, once someone said the worst thing you can really think about yourself, it's like, oh, well, that's been said now.
Yeah.
So I don't really have to deal with it anymore because, well, there you go. That's it. How about you? I mean, you say you just don't care.
Don't care. I go about my day and I have shit to do.
Have you always been like that? Like, even when, like, you were first coming up in the game and everything. Yeah. Coming up in the game. Fucking hell, what do I sound like?
Coming up in the game. Yeah. Yeah, where'd you get that phrase from, Matt? Wow. Coming up in the game. You sound like an out-of-touch white guy talking to a rapper. Hey, little kiddo, when you were coming up in the game, Jay-Z, who are your favorite celebs? Oh, my God. But I would say, I hear another thing someone told me recently that, you know, there's this big dichotomy, right? When guys go on, male entertainers go on talk shows, they just talk about their work and stuff, straight into it, their work, what they've created, what they're plugging, the latest movie they're in, their career and stuff, right? When women go on talk shows, they talk about their hair first and how good they look and the makeup. And it's such a dichotomy, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it's different. But also, have you seen how long women spend on makeup and on film sets and like TV production shoots? I've done these things. And women, they have to get there early to get their makeup done. So is it that bad if like the host of the TV show spends some time talking about something a makeup artist has spent 2 hours working? Yeah, it's bad if like they're trying to promote a movie and all they talk about is how fabulous their hair looks. Yeah. You know how hard it is to make hair look fabulous? It's very difficult. You don't just wake up with fabulous hair.
No.
It's the amount of product and the number of gay guys who have to come over and put product in a woman's hair. And then, like, of course, a talk show host should mention it. I know, stereotype, you know, gay guy hair. Yeah, sure. All right. Yeah. But the gay guys are backstage wishing the talk show host would mention her hair.
Mm.
And then they'll be like, so happy. Sure, don't just focus on hair. Talk about the person's work too. But if a woman wants to not talk about her appearance at all, I don't know. I think maybe tell production beforehand, I don't want to talk about your appearance, you know. And then, but if you say that, I think the makeup artist will just work less hard on you. Because makeup artists, when they work on me, they don't give a shit. Just take a little makeup brush and just do two strokes and yeah, you're done, you're a guy, nobody cares. So I think you should acknowledge women looking good on talk shows.
Also, do you think like guys aren't very good at taking compliments as well? Like if it's on a talk show and he goes, oh wow, your arms are looking amazing right now, the guy would just be like, don't really know how to take this. Like, yeah, sure, but...
Yeah, because you don't talk about appearance enough.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Maybe that's the solution. Yeah. Talk about guys' appearance more. Because I wear concealer in every video I do, you know, just to look a little bit better on the lighting and the camera so high def, you know. And it's a nice contrast because Matt doesn't give a shit. You know? You ever wonder why I don't have a close-up camera on Matt? That's why. Because you'll see it his real face.
actually put a bit of blur like in the after end.
Really? You make us out of focus a little bit.
Yeah.
And then on doing that podcast, I think that we talked about like makeup on guys. And I'm like, yeah, I am very pro makeup on men. Because have you seen the average British man? No offense. It's everybody. It's everybody here. I'm like, you guys need makeup. The average British woman puts on too much makeup. The average British man puts on too little makeup. Can we just even it out a little bit? Guys, if you have a girl and she cakes herself up with makeup, just kind of just swab her face a little bit with your fingers or a cotton pad. On the train, whatever, you're on the way to the party, in the Uber, whatever, just swab her face and put it on yours. I'm trying to fix society here. You've seen the girls in Britain. It's like, wow, I don't even know where your real face begins. Stop it with the contouring. It's enough. You look like a skeleton.
Whereas guys,
it's too much. Whereas guys, look, you look like a skeleton also, but in the bad way.
Yeah. You could say the guys in the UK are very authentic though. Do you know what I mean? It's all about that Instagram versus reality, where we are reality and we're okay with that.
This is reality. Stay home. If this is reality, stay home. British guys. Just take your woman and just kind of smush her face up at yours for like 5 seconds. Let's transfer off the makeup. It's fine. Then we all look good, you know? You want to walk about in society with good-looking people. It makes you feel better about your society. That's why you're all grumpy here. Hello, niece and nephew. It's Uncle Roger. And I'm back on Nephew Nigel podcast. And this guy I never met before. Who are you?
Matt, a producer, Matt.
Nephew Matt? Producer? What producer do?
I do the podcast.
The podcast? But the camera just there? I just press record. What you here for?
I just talked to your nephew, Nigel.
Nephew Nigel, just wasting money. Wasting money. Okay, have you seen any of Uncle Roger Weejo?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You got any question?
I have a few, actually.
A few?
Yeah, I have a few. Have you got time?
Hiya, 5 minutes. Give you 5 minutes.
Well, first, do I have to call you? You're not my uncle. Can I just call you Roger?
No, uncle is sign of respect in my culture.
Okay.
What you call older people in UK? What you call them? Just their name?
Just their name, yeah. Like Gary. Yeah.
So disrespectful. In Asia, we call all middle-aged people uncle or auntie.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Because it feel good. You feel like they're part of family. You just call them by their name. No. Western civilization, Western society, not good.
Why have you got your legs up on the chair? Are you not comfortable?
No, this is most comfortable way to sit.
Well, like this?
Yeah. It good for your spine. A little armrest. What if your chair don't have armrest? Where you rest your arm?
Just on my legs, just like down.
That's so uncomfortable, just dangling your hand like this. Hiya, but sit like this, it good. Sometimes I have cigarette, I just sit like this. You hold the cigarette, so convenient, easy access. Can you do this? Can you sit like this? Why so clunky? You're not flexible.
Like this?
Yeah. Comfortable, correct?
No. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're not flexible enough. Because in Asia, we shit in hole. We have to do Asian squat. You know what is Asian squat? You have to squat all the way down because your toilet just hole in the ground. It's actually more healthy way of shitting. It's scientifically proven. Just like how nephew Nigel got black dick. Scientifically proven that Asian people more flexible when it comes to squatting. The same thing. Same scientist discovered both these things. I don't know what that scientist do, but he discovered both these facts. Squatting down to shit, it better. It better. So you're not very flexible. Hiya. What you do? How old are you? Why are you so stiff?
I'm 30.
30 and you stiff like that? Uncle Roger, 50-year-old, still so flexible. Can pound long time. How you're pounding?
Yeah, good.
It good?
Yeah, solid.
You sure?
Yeah.
But no children yet?
No children.
No children, pounding bad. Pounding bad? Uncle Roger got so many children.
How many have you got?
Two.
Oh.
They don't talk to me anymore. Auntie Helen stole them away. Hiya.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Were you in the UK? Like, do you like being here?
I come here because Auntie Helen back in Malaysia, Auntie Helen, leave me and too many bad memories. So I come to UK, start my own business. It betters. New start, midlife crisis. White people, midlife crisis by BMW. Uncle Roger, midlife crisis. I move country. She took all my shit, so nothing anyway. So I come to white people country. See how it like? But I regret it now. I want to go home. I want to go home. But I traffic here. I was human trafficked. Now I can't afford to go home. Because when you get sent here, they take your passport away because you owe them money. These company, they send Asian people here, they traffic them. And then when they land, you have to pay them back before they give you your passport back. So now I stuck here just making Ouija with nephew Nigel, just reviewing British people, fucking up Asian food. Hiya. So you should try one day sit like this for dinner. Try like this. Like tonight,
yeah,
you
okay.
See Gemma at home, your wife Gemma. Say, Gemma, I want to try something new today. And you sit like this, eating your roast beef or some shit. I sit like this, very comfortable. See, you can eat like roast beef like this. Very convenient. Very convenient.
And I've seen a lot of your videos. You're always wearing the same top.
This good color.
Oh, so you got more than one top, but just
all
same color.
Same thing, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg. Always wear same shirt. This is me, Mark Zuckerberg of Asian food. I just wear the same shit. Orange is good color. Very prosperous color for Asian culture. In Chinese New Year also. So we got to wear orange. Celebrate a little bit. Chinese New Year, big festival. Nephew Nigel feeling a bit sad because he can't go see his family. Oh. And Uncle Roger want to tell him, you my family. We spent it together, Nephew Nigel. Just me and him against the world. He usually film my Ouija for my reaction Ouija. He better producer than you. Hiya. But it okay. You're still learning. If you go to Malaysia, you see many uncles sit like this at the coffee shop. They sit like this, smoking, talking shit. That their two only hobby, smoking and talking shit. They all divorce.
How much do you smoke a day?
Now I don't smoke anymore because so many children watch my Ouija. I don't want to be bad example. Yeah, don't vape. Don't go vaping, niece and nephew. Vaping is so lame. You just smoke this little metal thing with light on it, hiya, and then you smell like cranberry sauce. You ever see someone vaping? Smoking, at least smoking manly. They blow shit out. It smell like tar. Smell like hard work. Smell like man. Like strong man. And then you see someone vaping. Smell like caramel latte. Hiya. What kind of pussy do that? Why you smell like strawberry shortcake? Don't vape. Don't do tobacco. If you want to get addicted to drug, get addicted to MSG. That's the best drug ever. Fui yo, the best white powder. I should introduce this white powder to Nigella Lawson. Tell her there are different type of white powder, Nigella. This white powder won't ruin your career. You should try this. You don't have to go to court for this white powder. I know you had terrible marriage, Nigella, with your ex-husband, Charles Saji. Correct? I know. Uncle Roger Google you too many times. Because before Auntie Esther, Nigella used to be my favorite female chef. She's so pretty. She can't make food for shit, but she's so pretty. She can't make ramen at all. And I Google her. And it turned out she has so many white powder problem. If only Uncle Roger were around when that happening, I can tell her, Nigella, just eat MSG. It make life better. It's the king of flavor. Do you like MSG, nephew Matt?
Yeah, I think so. But when I was growing up, my mum can't eat MSG. So we'd have to get it without MSG.
Why your mum can't eat MSG?
Something to do with her stomach.
Allergies. White people allergic to everything. that Auntie Helen was white woman, you know?
Mm.
Auntie Helen just allergic to everything. Cannot, this cannot eat, that cannot eat. She never put anything in her mouth. That why Uncle Roger, if I find new wife, has to be Asian woman. because mixed race kid not good. Mixed race kid. I don't know why I keep coming back to this topic, but mixed race kid not good. Uncle Roger want nice Asian woman who can cook. But anyway, sitting with leg like this posture mean Uncle Roger relax. This is how Uncle Roger relaxing. So many activity you can do like this. But if I see bad food video, I put my leg down from chair because I upset. I upset. I have to express my disappointment. This is how Asian people express disappointment. They sit uncomfortably. They just put their leg down from chair. Like when I see nephew Matt producing podcast sitting there like this. Uncle Roger have to put my leg down from chair. It too sad. But I'm looking forward to Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year. People here call it Lunar New Year because it's more inclusive. But who you including? Chinese New Year, very simple. You Chinese, you celebrate. But if you're not Chinese, you can celebrate also. We don't care. Don't need to change the name. Just call it Chinese New Year. I say to one of my friends, I'm celebrating Chinese New Year. And then they go, hiya, cannot say Chinese New Year, say Lunar New Year. You very racist. Say Chinese New Year. Because not only Chinese people celebrate Chinese New Year, but Uncle Roger, Chinese? Just let me say however I want to say hiya. Don't. White people, stop getting offended on behalf of other Asian people. We say Chinese New Year, it okay. You want to call Lunar New Year, it okay also.
What are you doing for it this year?
Just going to have food, maybe karaoke. And going to make more YouTube video. Because niece and nephew, apology my butter chicken video for Wise. They keep blocking it. Why so pussy? Block my video, Vice. Unblock my video now. Otherwise, Uncle Roger going to come fuck you up. Going to come find you and burn your house down, Vice. Anyway, niece and nephew, try sitting like this next time. Next time you eat, this is good table manner, correct?
So do you eat like this?
Yeah, I do everything like this. I take a shit like this also. You just sit with the leg on the toilet bowl. Very comfortable, very comfortable. If you want to be super adventurous, you change leg. Just do this. Other leg also can. So if you niece and nephew, you sit like this, see what your parents say. If your parents say that very rude, put your leg down, then you say, this is Asian culture. You watch what you say, bitch. Just kidding. Don't call your mom a bitch. You're going to get beat up if you're Asian. So that was Uncle Roger. Nieces and nephews, hope you like him. And we're going to have a segment now called Reading Out iTunes Reviews. Apple Podcasts. No, not iTunes anymore, right? iTunes is not a thing
Apple
anymore,
Podcasts,
right? Yeah, it's called Apple Podcasts. So what this is basically Apple Podcasts, you can leave reviews on there for this podcast, which I highly recommend you doing because it really helps the podcast grow. So go leave a 5-star rating and leave a nice written review. A few paragraphs is fine. And the thing is, every Apple Podcast store, every country has its own Apple Podcast store, right? So I would just go and check every Apple Podcast store to see the reviews because they don't compile them all in one. So I get some really nice ones. And every episode from now, I'll just pick one and read if I remember to do it. So this episode... It's from Benjani One. Title, Nigel is a hero. I've never listened to a podcast before. I used to think they were just vegans and people who sit in the window of a coffee shop clutching a mug of coffee whilst wearing their favorite turtleneck. That is true, Benjani. There's a lot of people who love podcasts who act like this, you know, especially the true crime podcast. It's just women. True crime podcast is just women who like it, right? Do guys listen to true crime? Because we don't have to fear that that happens to us. It's just women having to fear, which is terrible, you know. But crime needs to keep happening. So true crime podcasts can continue to exist. And it brings a lot of women joy. So in a sense, women getting murdered on the street brings other women joy. You know what I mean? Because women getting murdered leads to true crime podcasts. True crime podcasts bring a lot of women joy. So what do you call it? As a transitive property... Women getting murdered bring a lot of women joy. Logical.
Clip it up.
Yeah. Clip it up.
Leave out the show and your workings.
Yeah.
Just clip that.
Matt has so much power to end my career, you know. Nigel Ng has completely changed that for me. You have entertained me throughout 2021 as Uncle Roger, but it is so refreshing to hear about Nigel personally. Oh, thank you. He is an absolute credit to his family and his home country of Malaysia. That's very nice to say, but come on, I just heard him make funny videos. I'm not a patriotism is very uncool now, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you come out and say, I love my country, we're just going to go lame, lame. Who loves your country? Do you love Britain?
No, it's a complicated relationship.
Yeah,
it's
just
never
like,
love,
it's kind of
it?
Like, ah, I kind of like living here, it's fine.
You also get accused of being like really right wing if you're like,
yes,
definitely.
I even forgot about that. Yeah, I love my country. That's why these immigrants should not come here. That's why people don't love their country anymore. Yeah. But grow up if you love your country. It's just a piece of land. Okay, this is what I want to talk about. I hope that a large statue of Uncle Roger holding his trusty rice cooker can be erected in the center of Kuala Lumpur. To me, Nigel's material is always funny and never offensive. That's very sad because I try really hard to be offensive. So, very sad. I pray that Nigel receives all the sweet little Asian women he deserves. Fuyo! Thank you. I pray that too. I haven't met enough sweet little Asian women. I've
that
met
phrase.
Sweet Asian women. I've met little Asian women. I haven't met sweet little ones. I've met sweet big ones. And of course, I have slept with many a sweet big woman.
Great.
Sweet big women are good. They are eager to please. Little women are not, sometimes not great. They're too little. And sometimes little women, they're too small. They don't have the body curvature of a woman. So it feels like you're fucking a teenage boy.
Oh my
it's
God.
Just bony. And there's no ass. There's no waist. There's no hips. And from the back, sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I'm like, is this a little high school kid right here? If they're fucking them from behind. You know? Because they don't have curves. They look like a very skinny, very pretty, sure. And I like their personalities. But sometimes, if you're too, like, childlike, certain sex positions make you feel like you're fucking a teenage boy. And I'm like, I feel like such a Catholic priest right now. Here's to many more years of Nigel from Ben J in Leicester. P.S. You got to do a show here. Okay, Ben, I am doing Leicester. It's one of my tour dates, so go search it on Live Nation. But thank you very much, Ben. This is a very nice podcast review. And if you want, every week now, I'm going to pick one review like this. If you make it dirty, it's fun, like sweet little Asian women. I love that. That's how I'm going to describe Asian women from now on.
It feels very misogynistic, doesn't it? Sweet little Asian women, like so dominant over them.
I don't think it's misogynistic. It's more like fetishy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I can do it. I'm Asian, so, you know, I love me some sweet little Asian women.
It's creepy if I say it, isn't it?
Try it, try it.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Who's your favorite type of women, Matt? Come on, say it.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical. Just say sweet little Asian women. We want to see a white guy say it.
Yeah, those sweet little Asian women.
Yeah.
Well, that's not making the cut.
Yeah, please include that.